Wendell Brunius was born at home in a 7th Ward shotgun delivered by a midwife.
I feel really New Orleans.
Was there a lot of music in the house as you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. We always had a piano. So even before I played the trumpet, we used to play this Ray Charles introduction on One of These Days and It Won't Be Long. Do, 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 do. Everybody knew how to play that. So it was, and to play a little bit of go to the Mardi Gras. That was another thing we all learned first before you even pursued to really learn how to play. And so it was a great thing. My dad was a great musician. Yeah, went to Juilliard Conservatory. So, and he graduated from high school when he was 15. But they had skipped him 2 grades, and he held us to that kind of scholastic bar, you know. So anyway, he was a great guy. He was a really smart man, a great musician. And my mother was Natsimova Santiago was her name. The Santiago family was from the Philippines, and my great uncle was the great Willie Santiago,
a guitarist,
first guitarist of jazz. And my 2 uncles, Lester and Bernal Santiago, were 2 of the greatest piano players. So, but you still had to practice, you know? I mean, I don't care what family you're from. I mean, you still had to practice.
For Wendell Brunius, the practicing on trumpet started when he was 11. Trumpet was something of the family instrument. Wendell's father, John Brunius, was a great trumpeter and pianist and arranger. And Wendell's older brother, also John, was a trumpet virtuoso.
My brother John was such a great trumpet player. When he was 14, my dad did a little arrangement of Flight of the Bumblebee for St. Augustine School. And, man, he brought John a brand new Olds Ambassador, which I inherited as my first horn. But John went up there and played that Flight of the Bumblebee, man. And it was just, I'm never going to do that. I haven't done it yet, you know. But it made me interested in wanting to play the trumpet. So, like, when I was just blowing on the mouthpiece and stuff. I started learning the notes when I was 11. But before that, I was listening to all those records John used to listen to. When I was 9, he went in the Army. I was about 9 and a half. That was my 2 years to practice. You know, I'm going to practice that I can play in front of John. So, and especially when I got to, because I used to write down the fingering, the, you know, what note, this note was not a B, it was second valve, you know. Right. So I wrote down the things almost like phonetically that I could play this. And I learned this song from Maynard Ferguson called People. And on the end, Ferguson hits this high note. Well, I could do a false embouchure, he'd squeak a high note, you know. When John came back from the Army, man, hey, I'm cocky. Yeah. You know, Mom said, go get your horn, pumpkin. Play something for John. So I put this record of People on. I'd heard him play that, you know. I mean, he knew it, you know, and he knew I was hitting all kind of false fingers and wrong notes and stuff like that. But boy, when I hit that high note on the end, man, I could see him right now. He just recoiled. He's like, wow. He's, you know, and anyway, just watching that I had made an impression on John gave me enough confidence to really start trying to get things together.
Wendell Brunius scored another aha moment in his development as a trumpet player when he was 15.
A cousin of mine named Johnny Fernandez. You ever hear of him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He brought me this record, Clifford Brown with Strings.
Right.
And he said, man, make this your summer project, man. Learn every note on here. I did that. It was, and it did so much for my tone, for being able to sustain notes. I mean, when you hear Clifford Brown play those songs on there, Clifford Brown with strings, you pretty much hear the words coming out the end of the horn. So it started me getting lyrical like that, you know, just learning to play melodies lyrically. And even though I didn't have sense enough to go and look up the lyrics at then, I've done since. But it that added so much, you know, to today and how lyrically that what I'm trying to play comes out of the horn.
In addition to music, Wendell Brennius loved baseball, was good enough to get a brief tryout with the Kansas City Royals, then went on to earn a business degree in college.
When I graduated from college, this was a hinge point in my whole life here. I was working for Sears. I had a degree in business. I was a manager of a little sporting goods place there. And Hurlin came in there one day, Hurlin Riley. Well, yeah, Wendell. I said, hey, bro, what's happening? He said, man, you still play trumpet? I said, yeah, you know? And he said, man, because I'm on a gig and I'm playing trumpet. He said, but I want the gig as a drummer because the drummer's leaving. So I said, well, yeah, you know, I want to be there. And so it was at the 500 Club. It was a dance, risque dance show.
Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street, yeah. And he said, man, why don't you come tonight and play a few tunes with us? Let the guy hear you, you know. So I went there. I played a few songs. Hurlin took the job as a drummer. I got the job as a trumpet player, and I haven't thought about a job since then.
End-o-day job.
Yeah, end-o-day job. I never went back to Sears. They may still have like
$17
or something.
Tell them what that's worth now.
The 500 gig not only freed Wendell Brennius from day jobs, it also had a powerful musical impact.
On the job was a great piano player named Vladimir Vasiliev. He was the musical conductor for Charo. I mean, maybe some of you don't remember Charo, but maybe some of your older brothers and sisters could tell you about it. It was a lot of Latin jazz, original charts that he had written, and Hurlin and I developed a whole lot of stuff from that, man. He had all kind of licks like, these kinds of, you know, I never read anything like that, you know. And anyway, but soon we were playing all of that stuff, and we learned a lot of different clave beats. I learned to play a little bit timbali, and Hurlin grew like a weed in that band, man. He just became the real drummer. He became a real drummer on that gig there. And I developed a whole lot of things on, you know, working with Vladimir.